man bleeding and dying. Laying alongside of the road, when a man filled with religion stood alongside him. He said, I'll pray, but I just can't help carry the load. Along come another, and he was a preacher. He just stood there looking straight at him. Wouldn't even reach down now to try to help him. He just shook his head as he left town. Where is the love, Lord, that we're supposed to have? Where is the kindness that we need to show? And where's the compassion somehow we let slip away? Where is the love, Lord, has it too all passed away?
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph. Good evening, Richard.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
And from Laramie. It's a beautiful day, and guys, welcome back. And we're not wearing masks here, and we're not requiring anybody to, just to let you know if you were worrying or wondering about that. But praise God, looking forward to a good program. I know we've got a couple callers, so I'll sure let you know when they call in.
All right. Thank you, sir. And we do welcome everybody back to Hope is Alive. We thank you for joining us this evening, this Wednesday night. We took some time off for the Independence holiday so we could get some time with our family and do some other things, but we are glad to be back here this evening. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, feel free to go to deliveranceusa.com. It is an excellent, excellent website set up for a really easy setup for you to get everything you need to know about deliverance. It's got testimonies, training, prayers, the I Am, the problem list, everything is on there that we talk about each Wednesday night. Or, if you like to read a book and do it kind of the old school way, Pastor Cox has written a book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you need that book, and it's an excellent, excellent manual to have in your library. It lays it down pretty simple, step-by-step process for deliverance, self-deliverance, and cleaning out homes, the head demon technique shortcuts that's in there. So if you like the old school way, get the book. If you don't mind using a computer, go to the website. Pastor, good to hear from you. Glad to be here again on Wednesday night.
Oh, good to be aboard again, Ralph. It seems like it's been a long time now since we met here on Wednesday night with that one break. It's good to be back.
It is. It is. Pastor, can you get any updates on service there at the Deliverance Ministries on Monday nights?
Well, we did not meet last Monday, the 6th, due to Independence Day and that weekend. So I don't have any fresh reports. We did have 16 cases the last time we met. And that was a great evening, so we're kind of back in the roll of it after this 2.5 months of the fire shutdown. But let's see, this next Monday I think it'll be our 5th one to be back in operation on Monday night with the one-to-one ministry with the trained teams. So, yes, it's always exciting and very fulfilling to all of us to see God's power operate through little us. We're just normal Christians, and yet we find we can do the works of Jesus, according to John 14:12, and do the commands of Jesus, Mark 16:17, even the commands of casting out evil spirits and healing the sick. And that's what we're going to hear on the testimonies calling in tonight, especially the first one, has to do with a level 4 cancer healing, but it was a healing by deliverance, as you will hear the man tell. So we're all excited to hear his testimony. That happened on March 16th, the last meeting we actually had on Monday nights at Deliverance Ministries. So, praise God, God's word is still performing itself.
Yes, it is. It is, and what's absolutely awesome, which I'm sure they will mention in the testimony here, the pastor got these out to the teams, the team leaders, and we get emails and updates from Deliverance Ministry. But the neat thing is this man has pictorial proof of his healing of cancer, where he's got the CAT scan, is that what that was?
MRIs, yes.
MRI.
He sent us all, after the ministry, he sent us an MRI you could see the brain tumor in his head on the MRI that before the ministry. And then the last MRI was about, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago now, and no tumor.
So no tumor.
That's exciting for all of us, and it was a healing by an exorcism or by deliverance of casting out of evil spirits. And we're all excited to see God's power keep moving. If somebody thinks that all this disappeared 2,000 years ago, we've been doing this kind of thing I have for 42 years in the ministry on Monday nights, doing about over 700 deliverances or exorcisms on through the year for 36 years. So it's a little hard for somebody to tell me it's gone away. Why do we keep doing it?
Because you get results.
Amen. And that drives us on, these testimonies.
Amen. And now that's part of those attesting. It says miracles throughout Scripture, but if you, at least in the anytime you see a miracle in the New Testament, you read over to the cross references, it'll say attesting signs. And that is attesting signs because Jesus gave this power and authority to Christians. He gave it to them, so when they came and preached the gospel, they had proof to back it up. Part of that proof was, these signs shall follow them. And if it stopped there, it seems to me, Pastor, if it stopped there back with the last apostle dying, there wouldn't have been many conversions after that. Because there's always been attesting miracles throughout history. There's always been attesting miracles that have followed Christians. Christians who understand they have that authority to operate in. So it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. This is a situation here where you got the MRI before, the MRI after, and one there's a tumor, one there's not. And even that, I've seen pictures of the man living life and life abundantly when he's after being told he has stage 4 cancer, because I've seen pictures of him out fishing with you.
That's right. That just goes, you know, he was supposed to die in June, and here we are out fishing in June. So let that be a slap in the face of the enemy. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that just goes to show you that the medical association doesn't always know when that day is, when that day comes. They always throw out different dates. Well, you have this much to live or this much to live. And, you know, they're not God, and they don't know. And I'll tell you, if you ever go to a doctor and he tells you something like that, you need to rebuke those words and break that curse he's put upon you. Because a lot of times, I mean, well, it is a curse upon you, especially if you let it happen. A lot of times people will visit a doctor. A doctor is supposed to be someone's an authority. They tell them this, they get that fear, they get scared, and next thing you know, it ends up happening.
Yes, and what's interesting about the man that'll be calling in is that the pain left in his head that evening that we ministered to him, that it had been a brain tumor. I noticed he was holding his head during the teaching and the door closing prayer. And after we cast the spirits out involved with his cancer, that pain left. And so he goes back and has another MRI, and there's still a little bit left, but the doctors are all excited. Of course, we were excited because it showed something had happened in the ministry. They give it up on it. But when they see that next MRI, they say, oh, look, our chemotherapy is working. Let's quickly get him back on it so it'll continue to stay gone. He went ahead with it. He's taken more chemotherapy. It's made him sick at times, but he's overcome. And as you saw in that fishing picture where he was in the boat with me, he looked pretty healthy.
He did look healthy. He did. And you know something also that it shows, which we know this from reading Scripture, how often in Scripture someone with a disease was associated with someone having a spirit, an evil spirit, a demon, or whatever cast out of them, the disease left. So it does go to show you that diseases can be caused by spirits. They can be caused by some sort of curse. They can be caused by all these different things. And that's the great thing about deliverance is what Pastor Cox and the teams there have put together, they cover all the bases. They may not always know what the root cause is behind it, but a lot of times it's put there either by curse or by assignment. It's there to affect the health. So diseases and demons come hand in hand.
And we might remind the listeners that Jesus in Luke 13 cast out a spirit from a woman that he said was a spirit of infirmity or a spirit of sickness that had been put upon this woman these 18 years by Satan. Yeah. And I love Acts 10:38, where God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all of those who were oppressed of the devil. So, praise God, there's our marching orders when he said we are to do his same works in his name, John 14:12, and all Christians, this is normal Christianity that we're talking about, all Christians can do this. This is not a gift area. It is normal Christianity.
Yes. And not these same works, he even said greater works.
Amen. I have to, I'm pretty excited just to do the works of Jesus. To do greater works is, sounds most amazing, but I'm not surprised at anything anymore.
Nope, neither am I. And well, I remember when you sent me that that MRI, I just gave thanks to the Lord that encouraged me. Those pictures of the MRI, pictures of you and the man out fishing, and I was just thinking, you know, praise God. Just praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you let me know about this part of the ministry, that man found out about deliverance ministries. Just everything worked all together and worked out for good for this to happen. So it's just, it's, you know, as you say, sometimes you got to pinch myself, Pastor. And it's humbling to know that we have a small part in helping people.
Amen.
Well, amen.
Well, Brother Ralph, Richard is on, so let's bring him on.
Well, fantastic. Thank you for joining us this evening, Richard.
Hello?
Are you there? Yes, hi, Richard. Can you hear me okay?
Okay, yeah, I can hear you all right, Mr. Everts. So.
All right, well, Ralph is on here with me up in the Branson area, and why don't you go ahead, Ralph, and give some history on yourself, and when you were born again, and how you learned about deliverance, and what was going on in your life, and what your ministry was like, and changes you've seen.
Yeah, I was actually physically born in Birmingham, Alabama, and my dad was in the Navy, traveled all over the place for every 3 years because he's a corpsman, but he settled in Bossier City, and that's so we could all us kids could finish high school there, and in Bossier City is when I was born again. On January 9th, 1975, which was my senior year in high school. And then 2 years later, after graduating in 77, we moved up here to the Oklahoma City area, where I guess Edmond, where I attended Metro Church for about 9 years. And then we moved to the Vineyard under Mike Owens, and that's when I first started hearing about deliverance and physical healing, you know, people praying over you and stuff like that, which never heard of really, especially in Bossier. It was just the First Baptist Church, and but anyway, that's where I got, you know. Most of the time, the ministry, deliverance and healings took place in small home groups. And I happened to be in one by Shan Shepherd at his house under Tony Kavner, who was the associate pastor of the Vineyard then. And that's That's, and it took me a while to get used to Christians could have demons. You know what I'm saying? So I finally accepted that, and we sat down, and they were starting to minister to me on deliverance, and I kind of just sat there like a, you know, with my hands crossed, like, are you kidding me? You're not getting me out of this boy's life. And so what they wound up doing is had me come, you know, the next meeting, come back in, and I prayed all week long that these demons were no longer welcome in my life. And so the second meeting is when all the demons, you know, came forth and stuff like that, and those were cast out. But I kind of didn't follow up real well. And I think the Bible says that if you you cast out demons and you don't do anything to protect yourself, fill that empty area with the Holy Spirit, and doing what the Bible says, that they will come back with a vengeance. And basically, that's what happened. And so, went for quite a while, you know, just kind of battling stuff. And then, and I'd had, I don't remember what day it was. It was just a few weeks ago that Steve and Shan brought me to one of your deliverance and healing services on a Monday night. And, you know, I thought I was just going in there to be prayed for on healing, but it wound up being a deliverance first. And
Richard, could you share what was going on in your life while you came for ministry? About the sickness?
Yeah, out of deliverance. Yeah, I sat in one of your sessions a few weeks ago, and I had, the reason we came there is because I had been diagnosed with glioblastoma cancer. And we were about, had already gone through, in fact, the doctors had already kind of written me off as going to be dying in about a year later, since I chose to go the surgery and chemotherapy and radiation. About three quarters of the way into it, I think we even, like I said, Shan brought me to one of your classes, and that's where we, I guess I rose my hand. Let's, you know, I'm sure I thought it had to be, you know, demons doing this, because I'm only 2 years old at the time and thought that was way too young, you know, to be pronounced dead, you know, walking dead and clean. And so we sat through, we started your deliverance deal, and there was, we finally got the main demon to reveal itself, which was Jezebel. And to tell you the truth, I can't really remember the other demons that latched on to this one so we could get them cast out. I'm sure one of them was unforgiveness and guilt. But anyway, we finally got those out, and then I think y'all started praying some healing on this cancer deal, and sure enough, I went back, I think, a week later to have another Avastin treatment, which is a little bit different than chemo, but so we took another MRI after that prayer a week later, and it showed, it did two of them, because I had two cancers in the left side of my brain there. And they brought up one that showed the one they did the biopsy on, and then the other one that popped up in the middle of chemotherapy. And so I just decided to quit chemo, and they put me on Avastin. But getting back to the MRIs, one was taken in December, this past December. Both of them were showing the cancer that had I'm getting confused a little bit, but anyway, there's two tumors there, and they did MRIs on both of those, and they put them up side by side, and the doctor was kind of confounded. He wasn't sure. He was looking at my MRIs, and he was going up and down all the pictures, and he finally had to settle on, this is it, but I don't see anything there. I mean, the one that had the biopsy was completely gone, so we went to the next one, which was the new one. They couldn't do anything about that one. They were just going to have to hope that, you know, the Avastin would take care of it. But, it was still there solid. And when they did the MRI, and I'm going to say it was about the size of in between a nickel and a quarter size. But when we took the MRI there just last month in June, it was the size of like a felt pen, fine point dot was all that was left on that. So, and like I say, I will give the doctors and the chemo some credit for keeping it controlled, but it was absolutely God who healed and removed that glioblastoma out of my brain. And the doctor was confounded. He couldn't believe what he was looking at. You know, he thought I was just had a miraculous reaction or results from the other treatment. And I said, no, I've been telling you I have people praying for me all the time about this cancer in my head. So, I think I've got one more appointment, and I'm going to have them do an MRI because I'm thoroughly convinced that it's gone, and I've got. Oh, I've got the MRI pictures on the telephone, so I know I was healed by God, and my wife, and we've experienced, and so, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, Richard, when we had that head demon up that was speaking out of your mouth, Jezebel, I remember I demanded to know what its right of entry was, and it said unforgiveness. And yeah. I put it on standby and called you back up to see what it was talking about, and it had to do with some business situation, didn't it?
Yeah, I always thought for a long time I wasn't worthy to witness to somebody or try to lead a fellowship group and stuff like that, because I couldn't forgive myself, you know, for what I did prior to being saved, and some of the stupid things that I did even after being saved. I was just kind of I just want to be a Christian, leave me alone, you know what I'm saying? But I know I missed a lot of opportunities to witness to people because I just wouldn't forgive myself, you know, for not feeling like I wasn't worthy. So, but, And then during the deliverance, yeah, the deal was, you know, I couldn't forgive myself, and those demons were speaking, and I could hear kind of what was going on, and I was kind of twerking around, and just because you were demanding that the angel, guardian angels, if he didn't reveal himself, you know, we're going to get the guardian angels, and that really happened. And then I think they got tired of getting beat up a little bit, and so they gave up, and they came out, but they were speaking, and they were, I know one phrase I didn't want them to say, because it wasn't a cuss word. They were just kind of saying, hey, you're peeing me off. I said, you can't say that, but it did anyway.
Richard?
Yeah.
Richard, one thing I thought was really interesting, that hit demon, what I commanded to know, was it responsible for putting the cancer on you? And it said yes. And then I said, yeah. Well, if you put it on him, you can take it off, can't you? Yes, it said. Yeah. And so commanded it to take it off, and those cells, those cancer cells out of your brain area there.
Yeah.
And it took some minutes before it finally admitted that it had done it.
Yeah.
And it finally did. It said it's done. And, of course, they tend to lie, and you have to say to them, will you confess what you just told me to be true before the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit? They'll say yes or no to that. So at that point, we found out there were no more remaining legal rights. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you'll be turned to the tormentors. And, of course, cancer is a torment. But you had done the forgiving part on others, a business partner, whoever it was, and also forgiving yourself, and there weren't any more satanic assignments, and so we bound them all up together and cast them out to defeat Jesus, for Jesus to do what he wished with them. But you were right. At
right.
A couple of points, the head demon got kind of belligerent, and we had the warring angels use their swords on them a few times, jab them, and they said it hurt. It didn't feel good, which is a classic answer. And we always say it's going to get worse than that if you don't cooperate here. So at that point, anyway, we got them all cast out. And as I remember, you've been holding the left side of your head earlier in the evening during the teaching and all, and that pain actually left, did it not, in your head at that point?
Yeah. I got a 5-inch scar on the side of my hairline where they did the operation, and that area was hurting real bad, headache wise, and then, it would travel a lot of times across my forehead and get into my right temple. Excruciating. I mean, hydrocortone wouldn't work. Lyrica wouldn't work on it. And a lot of times it would kind of simmer down a little bit if I lay down, but as soon as I sat up, just boom. And that has stopped. And now, you know,
right,
I had a neck fusion years ago. Sometimes it gets a little cold, and, you know, I'll feel it in the back of my head. But, the headache across, you know, both temples across my forehead, I haven't had any problems with that since that night. And I know it was a Monday. I don't remember exactly what. I think it was, 3 weeks ago? So I'm gone 3 weeks without excruciating headaches.
March 16th.
It did. Go ahead.
It was March 16th.
Oh, okay. So, but it wasn't that long ago. Just a few weeks ago, yeah.
So,
Richard,
the last MRI you had done was, 2 or 3 weeks ago? And Was it all gone at that point, all those tumors?
Yeah, the last MRI was taken June 10th of this year, and that's when both of those tumors, one of them, the original one they did the biopsy on, completely gone. And the doctor flipped through the other tumor that was there, because there's two of them, and that one was just growing wild because it was in a bad spot. They said if they operated now, it would probably kill me, because they had to go through way, way too much good brain to reach these tumors. And they were real cautious about the first one. I mean, they were in different...
Were those gone then, Richard? Were they gone at the last MRI?
Yes. The other one had a very small dot still left on the one that popped up later on, and I'm confident it's gone. That's why I think I have another treatment next week, and then after that I'm going to talk to my I guess he's an oncology doctor about, I want another MRI, because I don't want to keep these 2-week treatments up forever, because they're pumping steroids and an anti-nausea medication to my system. And it's,
well, yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear
Richard,
you.
We're out of time, Richard. Thank you so much.
Okay.
That was an awesome, awesome testimony.
Yes, it was.
To encourage others.
Yeah.
God bless you, brother.
Yeah, no problem.
Let's go fishing again.
All right, thanks, Dater.
Bye.
Bye.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Amen. Praise God.
Now, you know, it's one thing to say, yeah, I was healed. It's another thing, yeah, I was healed, and here's the medical proof.
Yes. Well, I sent you that last MRI.
I know. I tell you, I didn't see any dots in there, but then again, I don't know what I'm looking for.
It looked like me.
It looked pretty healthy and okay to me. So praise Jesus. I believe when he gets his next MRI that it'll be completely gone. I believe that. He's given all glory to Jesus Christ. And something it was talked about in his deliverance was the unforgiveness.
Yes,
and
that was a big door.
I have heard for years, even before. Knowing about deliverance, that cancer was an emotional disease. That its root was in bitterness, which is bitterness has a lot to do with unforgiveness. They kind of go hand in hand, and that was the root cause. That and also all the pollutants in our society today. But the big cause that many nutritional doctors have said is an emotional, and that you had to get your emotional state just right, you know, also with proper nutrition, which, you know, God did give us all these wonderful plants for our healing as well. But this is just, that's just fantastic, absolutely fantastic. Richard, when our next person comes in, let me know. I just now got your text.
All right, Ralph.
The first caller.
Yeah, our next caller is ready. So,
okay, all right. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for calling in, and I'm excited to hear your testimony, and I know it'll edify the listeners. Why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and changes you've seen and any experiences. Go right ahead.
My name is Tania Hawkins. I got baptized at the age of 7, and I knew exactly I was giving my life to God, but along the way, through marriage, divorce, and just through life, I thought all the time, you know, how you're saved, once saved, always saved. I don't believe in that anymore. I had gotten born again and baptized after this last attack that I had. And it was an attack that came out of nowhere. I grew up Baptist. So even though I knew about deliverance, I didn't quite believe in witches, wizards, and you know, praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, that just wasn't done at a traditional Baptist church. And so as I began serving God, I would get up real early in the morning to pray, and then I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And even in that, I was started, after I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, I was talking to God about fighting stuff I couldn't see. And it
all
was like, it was like I felt like I was fighting a battle that I couldn't see. And I didn't know what was around me, but I knew something was always there. And deliverance, I started visiting different healing and deliverance ministries, and I just, you know, I would go to them, I'd watch, but I didn't quite understand everything that I was around. It was like I knew people were getting free, I knew people were getting delivered, but what I didn't know is that I needed deliverance. It was almost like I didn't realize how much stuff in me needed to change before I could get free. It's kind of like the biggest battle I had was not the enemy, it was myself. I got rebaptized and rededicated to the Lord, I say, a few years back, and it was right after I got this huge attack. I took a job working for a company, and when I took the job, I signed a contract for a sales position off of LinkedIn. But the people that I signed a contract for were actually witches, and one was a warlock. And I didn't know it because I did not consult God about it before taking it. And when I left that company, I started getting all these weird attacks. And that's how I came across Everett Cox Ministry. And I started coming, and I went all over the place. I called all these different churches. The churches did not want me there. If I told them a little bit about the attacks I were having and about how, you know, I was having all kinds of heavy demonic attacks, like stuff speaking through my mouth, attacks on my body. Every time I went to leave the house, it would be like, at one point, I actually felt electrical currents through my body. And I didn't know what was going on. And I heard you talking to the last guy about unforgiveness, and they have like a spirit of death, hell, and the grave about coming to take you out early simply because that demon, Abalon, for not forgiving people. And that's what was happening to me. And I didn't, it was like I knew I had it in me because whenever I got to that part, when we did the prayer on, you know, there's the prayer that Everett Cox does right before you get delivered, there was a part of me that was like fighting that part. Like, you know, you have to forgive these people. And I would feel an unction in my spirit like, you know, you have to forgive. Once I did that spirit didn't come back no more. You know, it left. It was like, I don't know how to put it. It's just like forgiving people actually freed me. This has been one of the roughest seasons of my life, but it's been a constant battle. And what I've learned is that you have to not give up. It's a constant war. And it's like you get up every morning, you put your armor on, and you get ready for battle. And then you use your tools that God has given you. And what this ministry has done for me, it has taught me how to use my tools because I didn't know what doors were open. I didn't know how to get free, and I didn't even know how to free myself. I mean, what do I use? How do I use the Word of God? I knew I was saved. I knew I had gotten rededicated to the Lord. But the gifts of salvation and how to implement them and how to see them manifestation of them in my life, that right there was where I was struggling. But when you do the door closing prayer, when you begin to wash yourself in this blood and in this word, and when you begin to pray the word out loud, it does something to the atmosphere, and anything in you that's not of God has to leave. It all has to bow to the name of Jesus. The power and authority is in the word. It does work. The thing is that you have to use it, and you have to keep saying it over and over and over again until you become a living part of the word of God is alive in you. And that's what I've learned. I've learned that it takes a lot of faith to believe God and to walk out and to do exactly what he's called you to do and to use his word and to believe in him, in that word. Then it becomes alive, and so do you.
Praise God. Well, Tania, in your actual ministry with the minister that was with you, the one-on-one, could you feel those spirits coming out, or what went on at that time?
Yes, I did. I felt a lot of stuff breaking off of me right at that time. When she did the deliverance, it did work. But I've been coming to you for a while now. There was several people, but it's been so many attacks that I've had. It's been not just one or two. It's been a lot. But when she prayed over me, I started to throw up. Burp. Mm-hmm. And even now, yeah. It's been like the what you said when I read that comment about demonic assignments. When you talked about demonic assignments, like some of it is just you open doors. Some of it is just you have to repent and you have to walk in love and forgiveness. And then some of it is just demonic assignments, and some of it is Freemasonry too. I know I had that in my bloodline. And then I started doing that Freemasonry, that helped. But demonic assignments is something totally different. It's like almost every day I get up and I have to cancel demonic assignments from the first and second heaven. I don't know, it's kind of like, this has been like a season of warfare, and it's like I'm almost being trained, it feels like, because I'm learning so much about witchcraft. And it's not because I want to, it's because I'm getting attacked so much. And that's what's driven me to different ministries for healing and deliverance, and I've learned that not every ministry is safe. This is the safest ministry I've ever been to. Not one bad thing. Everything is clean. Everything is straight from the Bible. It's all mapped out to where all you have to do is sit there, and it's almost spoon-fed to you. Where if you just sit there and you just repeat this, if you say this, and a lot of times if you declare who you are in Christ, and that's the biggest thing, it's almost like the devil's challenging you, saying, like, God is not taunting you, like, God is not going to come save you. Like, you're not really saved. Like, you're not going to ever walk in the gifts of salvation that Jesus died on the cross for. Like you're going to have to... You have to bow to the God of this world. It's like a war between God. And standing on that word, it's like you just can't back down from it, even if you feel it, even if you know it's around you, even if it feels like the ground is shaking. You have to keep stating the word and not move from it. And that's when you begin to see a move of God. But as far as when I go, yeah, definitely. Every single time I've gotten deliverance, just vomiting. The coughing and the stuff leaving my body, it just goes away.
Praise
sometimes
God.
Just when I walk through the door.
How many times have you come now?
Over the last 5 years, I'd say at least, I think I've been at least 10 times at the very least. But I also watch you on YouTube, because you have the service on YouTube too. That's, I do that every morning, but when I get up, but after I wake up and I start to pray, I also make sure all my doors are closed and put on my full armor before I leave the house. So I make it a part of my daily prayer to make sure that all of my gates, to make sure that my surroundings is covered. It may sound a little unusual, but I do it every morning.
No, that's good stuff, and I'll bet you've learned how much power you have in Jesus' name.
Yes, I have, especially Luke 10:19. Luke 10:19 is something I have got to meditate on. I say it every day along with Psalms 91. But I say Psalms 91 every day, every morning when I get up. And I also do Luke 10:19. But it's just like, that's another thing, the serpent, and about deception and being deceived. It's kind of like, when you read the Bible, it's not a fairy tale. It's actually real. It's the real living word, and I know everybody here believes that. But it becomes more real to you when you're in a fight, because the stuff I've been fighting, nothing can help me. And this is so real. Nobody can pray over me enough. Nobody can fast enough for me. No, there's nothing I can do for myself. The only help is going to come from God. If he didn't intervene, there would be no intervention. And a lot of times, like with sickness and disease, a lot of it is just people need deliverance. It's a demon. It needs to be cast out. And so that's why when you go, it's kind of like deliverance is something that every ministry, every church should have. We have all these problems in these churches right now. We have the pandemic. We have the race riots. All this is a demonic attack. Those are territorial spirits in certain areas. And it's kind of like God was dealing with me about it. Like the problem is that people are not walking in the authority that they've been given. And a lot of times they don't know, because I didn't. And it's kind of like we have to stand up and we have to speak against this stuff using the word of God. And a lot of times we have ministers that are willing to do it, but then the church doesn't let it in. But if you don't let it in, it attacks everybody anyway. A lot of the stuff that we have in churches now is because people are not getting delivered. They have stuff, all of us have something that we struggle with or deal with in a way that we need deliverance from. Before people even minister, they should do deliverance. Before you have people even serve in any area, even if it's just parking a car, deliverance should take effect. And I've learned that because a lot of the churches I went to get deliverance before I came across you and started really going to this ministry, I got sicker. The people had all kinds of stuff in them that was attaching itself to me. I took my kids to some churches. I had to pray stuff off of them. And it was just like a nightmare trying to get deliverance from certain churches. And then some churches wouldn't want you there because when you tell them, you know, I'm struggling with this, they're like, oh, my God, they're scared. They're scared of demons. They're scared of it. They don't want it there. They'd rather you leave and not come back. So oftentimes you're mistreated when you need to come and get free. So I thank God for the ministry because it's taught me. It maps it out clear enough to where you can sit still, and if you have to, you can go through those steps and be okay and receive deliverance at home. You know, but I like the fact that that you actually answered the call in your life, because a lot of people's lives have been saved by this ministry. So I want to say thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and it's very fulfilling for all of us that are ministers in this to see the results. Sure enough, we've been given this ALL power, all power, to deal with these spirits, and that's a huge step. Most Christians, of course, don't even know about the war going on, much less know how much power they have to deal with it, and then the doors and assignments to deal with it. They're terribly naive and therefore very vulnerable. How sad is that, Ania?
It's very sad, because that was me, terribly naive. And then I'd go places without praying first. Like, I would assume that all churches were okay, but that wasn't the case. And now I know that I have to cover myself and plead the blood before I walk in the building. And I've learned to do that over the last few years. But I've just been praying for stronger discernment, because you have to know what's around you at all times. And knowing so, there's safety and protection. You know, it's like you see stuff that's going on in today's society, and it's like spirits that are actually speaking to people's ears. You know, that's not God for you to have these type of surgeries where you mutilate your body, or if you say you want to become a man and you're actually a woman. That's not God. That's a demonic spirit. But if you don't know to bind that up and to speak against it, you will let sin rule over you. And I just remember God ministering to me one morning, and it was about, you know, how he bought us. Like, you know, Jesus' blood on that cross, he bought us out of all of our debt. He paid for everything at the cross. When he said it was finished, it was done. The problem is that we put ourselves into bondage when we live lives that are not in alignment with his will for us. We've actually given into the God of this world, and that's when we have to go back and be reborn again. Thus, I want to say me, you know, just not doing everything I'm supposed to do, not answering my call, not living as clean as I'm supposed to live. You know, I'll just go ahead and admit it. And then when these attacks come, you wonder what happened, because it shocked me when I started getting these kind of spiritual attacks from that second heaven, you know, just in demonic visitations and crap. I'm sorry for my language, but it shocked me. And a lot of it was Freemasonry, and I had no clue. I asked around my family line. Nobody knows anything about Freemasonry, but I know for a shadow of a doubt, I don't have a doubt that we have some Freemasonry in our bloodline. I was having parts of my body organs caged. I don't know if you ever heard of spiritual caging, but they were actually spiritually caging my organs, where they would actually put like chains inside of my body to where it made it hard for me to walk or to move. But you wouldn't be able to see it because it's an attack in the spirit. It wasn't an attack in the natural. And they said it was all because I had people in my line that practiced heavy witchcraft, but I had no idea who it was. I just knew I didn't practice any witchcraft, but I kept getting all these strange attacks. And the only thing that stopped it was when I started doing the Freemasonry prayer, when I started coming to your ministry to get deliverance. I mean, I had problems in every single area of my life, and a lot of it was because of just generational curses, generational sins, stuff that had to be repented of and cleansed up. And a lot of people don't know that.
Yes,
a lot of, like, I didn't realize autism, a lot of stuff comes through Freemasonry.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, many people have those that generational door open. Well, we've got about a minute left, Tini. What would be your final comments to the people before we wind up?
Just that it really is finished, that the blood is enough. When you speak that word, just believe and know in your heart without a shadow of a doubt that God loves us and that he would never leave us, and that when he died on that cross, everything was done. We just have to believe it and speak his word over our lives in every situation that doesn't look like what it's supposed to look like. Keep speaking it until you see a manifestation of it. I think that's all I would have to say.
Amen. We have power over all the enemy, even the promise that nothing will harm us. So as we speak the word, it performs itself. Well, thank you so much, Tania. That was awesome. That was quite a testimony that has to encourage others out there that are having those same problems going on.
God bless you. Thanks again. Yes, thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Thank you guys for having me. Good night.
Good night.
And if you're not sure what she was talking about with those Freemasonry prayers, is on the website, there are prayers there to break curses off. If you were a Freemason yourself, of course, you have to do a certain amount of repenting for it, and there's a prayer for that. If you were actually in Freemasonry yourself, or if you're a descendant of a Freemason, there's a different prayer, and it'll help break off those generational curses that are there that were spoke by the ancestor who took those oaths, those Masonic oaths. And they take an oath saying if they reveal any secret, all this stuff would come upon them, and all these things would come upon their descendants. And it would be a very, very rare individual that could take that oath and not goof up and give one of those secrets away. And when they do that, they spoke curses upon themselves. So if you if you're struggling with things, and you know that maybe your father, grandfather, or even a great-grandfather, or someone in your family was a Freemason, go to DeliveranceUSA.
Yes.
Yeah, go to DeliveranceUSA.com, and you can go to the ministry tools, and there'll be the prayers will be there. But they're excellent, excellent, excellent testimonies, as always, tonight. I know that they encourage me. I pray that they are a blessing to others out there, which I know they are, because I pray in faith. And we do thank you for joining us this evening. Again, the book is Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox. You can attain that by calling Richard the office at 307-742-7582 or go to DeliveranceUSA.com. Everything that's in the box, in the book, and then some is at that website. We thank you, as always, for joining us this Wednesday night. We look forward to seeing you next week. God bless and good evening.
God bless, everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
enemy.